Make the most out of your daily commute or next road trip in a new Audi from Audi Atlanta. And what better way to do it than behind the wheel of a stylish Audi A5 Sportback? Hey, it's Finn, along with my friends at Audi Atlanta, here to introduce this city to the Audi A5 Sportback. With a versatile and athletic design, the beauty lies within, combining the sleekness of a coupe with the practicality of a four-door hatchback. And right now, you can lease the Audi A5 Sportback for $537 per month. Find yours at AudiAtlanta.com. And use the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online, or shop in person on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Experience the thrill of driving like never before at Audi Atlanta. Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi A5 Sportback 40, $537 per month, 10,000 miles per year, with $4,731 due at signing. Example stock number A25954, MSRP $49,905, excludes tax, tag, and title fees. Offer expires 5/31/24 with approved credit.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
All right, let's switch gears. This was supposed to be Braves opening day eve, but dumb Philadelphia and dumb weather and dumb baseball has now pushed it to Friday at 3:05, but it's not going to stop us from dominating. With Ben Ingram and Joe Simpson on the call throughout the baseball season, and the voice of the Braves, Ben Ingram's kind enough to join us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Ben, what are you going to do now with your day off tomorrow?
I think that means that dinner can go a lot deeper into the night tonight than originally planned.
Okay, that's a good call. I like that.
That's probably what we're going to do.
Because you as a professional, had there been a game at 3:05, would have been tucked into your bed somewhere around 8:30 tonight.
Maybe 10 o'clock, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt, but you want to push it to 10. Okay, so let's talk a couple of baseball things that I'm curious about. Ben, for a team that has so much salted away with the Braves have at the top of the rotation, and we know the lineup. I am curious, and it's a good problem, when we go through the beginning of this season and the Braves have a 4-3 lead going into the seventh, like, this is an embarrassment of riches, and I'm just curious what you think Snit does when he's got four lefty options in Minter, Matzik, Bummer, and Lee, righty options in Jimenez and Pierce setting up Rysell. Like, do you think he has a preference how he's going to work this early when he's got leads late in games to get to Iglesias?
I think that he does, and I'm not convinced, Matt, that it is Iglesias at the back end.
Oh.
Now, this is just my speculation. Here's the thing. When it came to the moves that were made this offseason, to me it screamed one thing, a lineup that can beat the Phillies, a rotation and a bullpen that can beat the Phillies, and that means the left-handed bats of the Phillies. That's Schwarber, that's Harper, et cetera. If you get to the ninth inning and you got 1-2-3 coming up in the Phillies lineup, or 2-3-4, anywhere where Harper is in there. I don't know if you've ever seen Harper's numbers versus Iglesias.
It's video games.
I think it's 6-for-9 with 4 home runs career. So if you're thinking about other lefty options, I think that's the team that you use it on, whether that's Matzik, whether that's Minter. He's got options there. So to me, it's not just about, okay, Iglesias is my rock-solid guy in the ninth inning. And I may be wrong on this. This is not from Snit or anything like that, but I'm just kind of reading the room on what the Braves got in the offseason, and also the team that in my opinion, is their biggest hurdle to cross to get to where they want to get, and that's the Phillies. So it wouldn't shock me at all if at some point this season, it might not be this weekend, but some other time later in the year, especially when the games are even bigger, where you say, you know what, it's a one-run lead in the ninth inning. You've got 2-3-4 coming up, or 1-2-3 coming up. There's a couple of big left-handed, powerful bats in there. How about Matzik versus those guys? How about Minter versus those guys, or Aaron Bummer? Mm-hmm. To me, I just like the fact that you have some left-handed options against their left-handed bats, and you might see them deviate away from what they would normally do just for a situation like that.
So if you just look at the numbers, Jared Kelenic, it's not overstated. He was not very productive in spring, depending on how much you care, and if it's Ronald Acuna, maybe you don't. But I heard him ask probably 10 times before there was a pitch thrown, you can be a lot more relaxed now, so much less pressure. You don't even have to just go play left field. And then all of a sudden he's feeling pressure and not producing. Tell me what maybe isn't reflective in what we just kept hearing about the daily 0-for-2 or 1-for-4 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think for the first probably 20 games of spring training or so, 15 to 20 games, everything that you're hearing about Jared was completely accurate. Lots of offers, lots of ground outs to second base, strikeouts, that kind of thing. The guy that I saw for about the last 7-8 days is what I hope to see in the regular season. He squared up a bunch of balls. That was great to see, where he was not doing that in really about the first 20 games of spring training. I thought that where he finished was significantly better than where he started. And to me, it all started with one AB where there was a runner at second base, and he had a line drive to right field that was caught. He moved a runner over. I don't know if it was just the fact that he felt productive. That run eventually scored, and it ended up being a big inning. And maybe he just thought, okay, finally I did something productive. Maybe it wasn't a double off the wall, or maybe it wasn't a home run, but I did something productive. Next AB, he goes up there, and he has a 12-pitch at bat. He had a 3-2 count against a tough pitcher, fouled off a bunch of pitches, and then delivered a line drive right up the middle. And from that game on, I started to see a lot more of what you hope to see rather than what we certainly didn't want to see for the first 20 games. Then he had a home run the other day in the final game of spring training, and it was just absolutely clobbered, 450-foot shot to straightaway center field to the right of the batter's eye. So those are the things that I saw. And if you're looking for a trajectory for a player through spring training, while it wasn't pretty for the first 2.5-3 weeks, it trajected in the right direction. And hopefully batting ninth with Ronald right behind him, he's going to see a lot more fastballs and he can find ways to work some counts, get on base, and be there for Ronald. That's the hope, and I like the way that he finished spring training.
Ben Ingram, the voice of the Braves, with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Remember, Ben and Joel have the call starting Friday at 3:05 in the opener against the Phillies. I want to follow up on that, Ben, because I saw some pretty good video, and not being down there, it's just speculation when I read a box score about Jared and everybody's overreacting. But it looks pretty obvious that the Braves made some drastic changes to some of his hand placement, to some of the stuff with his setup, his load. And that does take time to get comfortable with it. And what you just said, maybe he found some comfort at the end of spring, which leads me to the question. The Braves have always had a long leash with guys trying to get comfortable, young guys, guys who have made their way to this team. How long do you think the leash is with Kelnick?
Well, I think it's a little bit longer now simply because you got Adam Duvall. I think that's a pretty good safety net. And you kind of changed the plan a little bit to where, hey, Jared Kelnick's going to be our everyday left fielder, to now you can platoon every single day if you'd like. And I think that gives you a little bit more time. Not that you want to send Duvall out there a bunch of right-handers, but at the same time, it gives you an opportunity to play whichever guy you want, side or hand, match up for that day. And I think that makes the leash a little bit longer. It's a good point that you bring up, Matt, about him changing his hands. It's similar to what they did with Matt Olson. It's similar to what they did to Ronald Acuna. That doesn't just happen overnight. And I thought when Kelly Johnson was on our broadcast on one of the spring training games, he gave a really good story about a time when he was in Arizona and Luis Gonzalez came in, told Kirk Gibson at the beginning of spring training, hey, I'm changing some things with my swing. It's going to take me a second. And KG said for the first 2-3 weeks of spring training, it looked bad. And everybody's wondering, what are you doing? Well, he ended up having a huge year that year. And it took a second to get used to that adjustment, get used to the new mechanics. And that's probably where Jared is right now. It's not anything that you dive into one day and all of a sudden you get the results immediately. So I think that was part of it as well. And I think to answer that question, his leash should be a little bit longer, knowing that you got Duvall there and he can go in there against left-handed pitchers and be a power threat.
So anybody, young kid, a little further down the food chain, anybody deeper on the 40 man that you could see, he's not going to make the roster and it was never, ever going to happen this year, probably out of spring, but you look at and go ball player, like you can just see it.
Yeah, I think pitching is where it really stands out. I mean, we got to see A.J. Smith-Shawver last year, and I love the strides that he made from last season to this season. I think that in the next 2-3 years, he's going to be an ace-type pitcher in this league. It's really hard not to fall in love with Hurston Waldrop and his stuff. His split is absolutely disgusting. If he's able to get ahead in counts and dominate with a fastball, he's going to be a power pitcher in this league. He just needs a little bit more time in the minor leagues. I imagine we could see him at some point. Another name down the road as far as position players go, I like the catcher Drake Baldwin a lot. I think he's a really intriguing catcher who could, to me, could grow into his body and be a power hitter in the big leagues. And then Nacho Alvarez is an interesting piece. He's going to be the starting shortstop most likely at Double A this year. He was an A ball last season. Big kid. Not sure if he's going to be a shortstop in the big leagues one day or not. He could be more along the lines of a third baseman. But I think he's got a lot of potential as well. So that's kind of down the road a little bit for those last two. But I think for the pitchers, those guys are really close, and I know we'll see AJ this year. And as far as Waldrop goes, I think he's certainly a guy we could see this season.
Ben, let's finish up by talking about Chris Sale. And I'm like tempering my own expectations because, gosh, I'm hard-pressed to think guys get healthier as they get older, and I know he's had some weird injuries, so maybe. But watching him this spring, man, the ball comes out of his hand, and it just pops. I mean, he's wearing the 51, so you're a little Randy Johnson in your mind of how filthy sometimes the stuff looks. If he can stay healthy, and that's a huge if, man, he looks like a piece to the puzzle at the third spot in this rotation that is just frightening good.
It does. And here's how good he has been, and here's how different he is. I think conventional wisdom would tell you with your top three starters with Freed and Strider and Sale, you're going to start with Freed, then go Strider, and then Sale, so you can split up your lefties. But you're not doing that. Strider's going to be your number one pitcher. So you're thinking, okay, back-to-back lefties. Here's the thing. Chris Sale is not like anybody else. So I don't think you really worry about running him out there after another lefty. I don't think it's a similar look with him and anybody, whether they're lefties or righties. I think he's that funky. I think he's that unique, and he gets the swing and miss stuff. It's a guy who's had a 300 strikeout season, strikeouts for nine, best all time in Major League Baseball. His numbers are through the roof, and he gives you so much swing and miss stuff to a stat that's already swing and miss. Not only do I expect the Braves to lead the National League in strikeouts as a unit, I think they dominate. I think there's a giant gap between first and second with the swing and miss stuff that this rotation has. And Chris Sale is a huge part of that. So long as he's healthy, the numbers will be there. My biggest concern is watching, and I don't have an answer to this, but just watching how Snit and Cranny manage his load throughout the season. Not saying he can't go out there every 5 days. He can certainly go out there and do that. But you want him to be that guy in October. Yep. And I think that's going to be interesting when they say, okay, let's skip a start here. Let's skip a start there. We've got so many different guys we can bring up and make a spot start here or there. And seeing how they manage that, not just with him, but also with Charlie, I think that'll be fascinating. And if they can load it the right way, you get those guys as fresh as they possibly could be once you get to October. And that's when you need them to be the difference makers that they can be.
It's way more difficult than most of the Braves make it look to hit a baseball. But Michael Harris in particular, is there anything you've seen? I think that guy is a super, super, superstar in the making. Anything you see that is not quite as polished yet, but tell me what you think is ahead for him.
For Michael, to me, he's like Spencer from the standpoint of he's accomplished so much at such a young age. I think it's easy to forget how old Spencer is. I mean, he's only 25 years old. It's the same thing for Michael. Just turned 24. He's won a Rookie of the Year. He's been a guy who's been close to a 300 hitter the last 2 years. And I see him getting better and better. To me, the next step for him is exactly what he verbalized. He did a great job verbalizing his goals. He wants to be a Gold Glover. He can go out there and swipe 30 bags. He can hit 30 home runs, which would be amazing to think about having two 30-30 guys on one team, with Ronald being 40-70 last year and whatever Michael could do this season. That's amazing. And to see him hitting higher in the order, I think we'll see a lot more of that. We've seen him bat ninth pretty much his entire career. We got to see him a lot batting sixth in the last week or so of spring training. So that, to me, seems like the place for him. And it's more a confidence thing than anything else, if you ask me. He's done this for 2 years at the big leagues. He knows he can be a superstar. Doesn't matter his age. And I see him taking huge strides this season towards that superstardom numbers-wise. I just think he's that good of a ball player. We've seen it in flashes, and we've seen really good numbers. But I think we're just tapping the surface with Michael Harris.
So dinner tonight, you'll linger a little later. Tablecloth or no tablecloth wherever you're going tonight?
I think there's going to be a tablecloth. Joe is in charge of picking this place, so I'm thinking it's going to be pretty high end. So I mean, you wear the shiny boots tonight rather than the dirty boots.
So nice wine list, in other words.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
All right.
Sleeves and a collar.
Make sure and Jay Chad is Natalie prepared. Ben, have a great call on Friday. Enjoy the day off tomorrow, and we'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate
There's
it.
There's the voice of the Braves, Ben Ingram, joining us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Make the most out of your daily commute or next road trip in a new Audi from Audi Atlanta. And what better way to do it than behind the wheel of a stylish Audi A5 Sportback? Hey, it's Finn, along with my friends at Audi Atlanta, here to introduce this city to the Audi A5 Sportback. With a versatile and athletic design, the beauty lies within, combining the sleekness of a coupe with the practicality of a four-door hatchback. And right now, you can lease the Audi A5 Sportback for $537 per month. Find yours at AudiAtlanta.com. And use the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online, or shop in person on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Experience the thrill of driving like never before at Audi Atlanta. Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi A5 Sportback 40, $537 per month, 10,000 miles per year, with 4731 due at signing. Example stock number A25954, MSRP $49,905, excludes tax, tag, and title fees. Offer expires 5/31/24 with approved credit.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.